Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live again for Empowerment Saturday. Candid conversation about African Americans for African Americans. And we will get the show started right now. Come on, y'all. Come on. Welcome to Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you. I got a unique show for you all today, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So the deck is full today, and we're going to have a conversation. Let me bring my main man, Stan Macklin, in. Stan, are you there?
Hey, my brother. I'm here up to my neck in terms of getting situated for moving back into my lovely palace.
Hey, now. Lovely. Welcome back. Welcome home, man. I think we got an interesting show today. So hang on in there with me. It's called Wake Up Everybody. So I'm going to do something a little bit different today. But we're going to start with Brother George. Brother, let's pull Brother George in. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Brother
I am,
George.
Brother.
Hey, brother, how you
yes,
doing?
Sir.
All right, we want to plug
great.
In with
how you
for
doing?
The Woolly. I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited about today's show, man. So y'all hang on. It's going to be pretty good, I think. Can you give us the Woolly Lich moment, brother?
Yes, sir, I can.
All right.
I'm going to speak today from a very well-advised book to read by Dr. Joy DeGruy, and it's called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. And she discusses something that I would consider a part of Woolly Lich chip syndrome, and I'll go into it. This is in the section of the book called Cognitive Dissonance. And the term cognitive dissonance means cognitive having to do with thinking, and dissonance meaning discord. In other words, when people feel uncomfortable with something that they've done in the past, then what they do is they tend to try to justify why it was done, or, you know, it was justifiable for it to be done because of the rules of the society at that time. And so they think of a bunch of justifications. Now, I'm going to read a short segment of the book where she responds to that. Virginia led the way in enslavement of people of African heritage when in 1660 it made them servants for life, meaning we became chattel slaves at that time. Forbade intermarriage with whites and gave children born of African descended mothers the status of their mothers, meaning that they also would be slaves. Although there were some religious qualms about making Christian slaves, in 1667 it was decreed that conversion to Christianity would not have no bearing on your slave status. Slavery as a practice in North America was a response to the Protestant Regio Economic Dictorum that wealth demonstrates morality, and into an even older dictum of fear and hatred of outsiders. Because Africans did not worship the Christian God, their lives were insignificant compared to the mandate of wealth for their masters. Slavery was not, for the most part, seen as evil at all, but almost a morality, since it protected slaves from destitute, meaning they gave us a home, put them to work, and led to wealth for God's chosen. These beliefs created a system of slavery unequaled in brutality and gave rise to the American brand of racism, meaning that they justified all of these different things. You couldn't even become a Christian, that if you had a child by a white man, that child was still going to be born into the world a slave. It's just a multitude of justifications. And another thing, that being slaves, when we were put in that predicament, we believed that, you know, that basically they were right and that they were doing things the right way. And so we complied with those things, and our thinking adjusted to that. So that's my Willie Lynch contribution for today, brother. And, you know, let's go on with the show.
All right. Thank you, brother. We're doing it, the Willie Lynch moment, for one reason. We want you to think about the impact of slavery and what it did to our mind, what it did to our people, and what it did to our culture. Realize that when we came over here, or the Aboriginal people who were here when the Europeans arrived, are now altered. We're now altered. All right. Stan, you there? Thank you, Brother George.
I'm here, my brother. Here.
Oh, man. I think y'all going to like this today. So let me get right to it, okay? I want you guys to listen, right, to what it is that I'm going to be bringing forth in just a minute, and I hope I can get it all in. Oh, yeah. Stan, can you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it loud and clear.
All right. All right. So I want the listeners to think about what the song is saying. Then we're going to have a conversation about it.
Back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time.
It won't get no better if we just leave it like it is. We can change this world. It's gotta be us. Now I really want you to listen to this part right here, and then we're gonna get into the conversation. Because we can't do it alone. All of us working together can do it. Talking about change.
Need some help, y'all. Need a little help, y'all.
Yes,
need a little help.
Say it for
me. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody.
Welcome to Empowerment 365. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Stan, are you there?
I'm here, my brother.
Wake man, up. Powerful, powerful song.
Oh, yeah.
It was back in the day.
Music with a message. Music with a message. That's the way it was back then, man. It should be like that today. That was original music with a message. This music that they have today, it don't have the same fiber, the same solidness that those brothers and sisters had when they would let it go. You take that same accord, take Diana Ross song, "What the World Needs Now Is Love." You know, those are classics. Those are hits. And the major thing about it is it was music with a message. And that particular song focuses on our original position as kings and queens. Wake up. If you're a builder, you ought to be building. If you're a doctor, you ought to be about the business of making people well. If you're a preacher, you ought to preach what you teach. You know? It goes on and on and on. It's just, you just cannot take anything from the originality of those pioneers and their message. It was so befitting that you will feel led to turn us on to our genesis. I mean, we need to realize that. And so as the brother says, wake up. That's what time it is. Wake up. We're sleeping. We know we're sleeping. We're so sleeping now so bad that God has permitted us to the place where we got to wear a mask to the extent that we even have to wash our hands, which we should be doing anyway, so that we don't get contaminated from Mr. COVID-19. So, you know, if we don't wake up to what the Almighty is trying to tell us, we're not going to remember the foundational tenets of our faith to guide us and to strengthen us in times like these.
All right, brother. Well, let's go to the lines. Before we go to the lines, I just want to say this. No more backwards thinking. It's time for thinking ahead. I'm going to 9282. 9282 is Empowerment Network, 365 days. Marvin Rowan and Stan Macklin. Are you with us?
Go ahead, Cole. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, I am. Peace, my brother. How y'all doing today?
You're doing good.
Good, good.
Doing well.
Look, yes, sir, look, listening to you brothers and George, Brother George, doing the Willie Lynch history and laying out the, you know, Willie Lynch's things and so forth.
of all the things he said when he was reading about Willie Lynch, the most important thing he said to me was the slaves had not been practicing Christianity. Okay? Now, think about that for a minute. Let that resonate. If that's true, and we're saying that the slaves, who were people that our people who were being made into slaves prior to that time, had not been practicing Christianity. So then a couple of things come to my mind. If that's true, what were they practicing? If they were not practicing Christianity. And it really comes down to this. And I know everybody not going to like this or agree with it or be on board with it, but keeping it real, it comes down to this, simply this. It's either, as the stories go about our past and we being slaves and we being brought from Africa over to America by the Europeans and enslaved and so forth. Y'all know the story, okay? Looking at that story, it's either we were wicked, evil people and children of the devil, just in Africa, drawing the most precious of the continents on the planet and its resources, which is where we were. Either we were over there destroying that and we were children of the devil, and it took white folks to come get us, to save us from ourselves and introduce us to Jesus, or we were godly children where we were in our homeland, practicing the rules and laws of our fathers and living according to godly children. And white folk came, and need I say more? It's either one or the other, y'all. We're talking about wake up, everybody. It's either one or the other. Which one you want to side with? I don't want other justifications. Well, it could be. It's either one or the other. Which one was it? To me, we were righteous, God-fearing, loving, caring men and women, kings and queens that had been blessed with the most precious of all value resources on the planet Earth and the continent of what they call Africa. And then a different people came, which we welcome in open arms as brothers and sisters. Welcome. Come, share this. Be a part of us, a part of our greatness, as the Native Americans did when Columbus and them supposedly landed in America. The same thing. Welcome. Be a part of this. And the white man had different ideas, y'all. It's either one or the other. Which one you decided? Which one you decide it is? Y'all all right?
Yes. I'm ready, brother. Well,
go ahead. Hold on, brother. Go ahead, Stan.
Okay. Couple things. First of all, I lived in Africa. Okay? I haven't just took a trip to Africa. I lived in Africa. I've studied African culture. I've taught there in the University of Ghana. They have the indigenous, you might say, religion, which is called the AIC, African Independent Church. It's the indigenous original church there, are believers who worship in the higher power, let's say God. Okay. And they have always fought against foreign intrusion, bringing their religion and their perspectives in their country. Always. And so the AIC, the African Independent Church, you know, Brother Ron, I took you there to Prophet Taiwa, an African Independent village. they are the original people who worship the Almighty. Now, Christianity was introduced there. It was. And a lot of particular denominational faiths are there. But the AIC is what has the major say-so there. And so that's the perspective that I have. That's the perspective that we as kings and queens should operate from, that we're definitely African, we're definitely independent, and that we should carry out that perspective. And so the Christianity that exists here today, we know that a lot of people have been, let's say, per se, contaminated and have been infiltrated in that particular doctrine. But I'm not going to say that Jesus Christ is not a living reality, and he's more than a reality. He's a person. He's a person who lived on the face of this earth and showed people a way while they were here on earth. And when he left some disciples who carried out his principles, which are known as disciples. And so it all points to the kingdom of God. But I think that we have to really, really be sure that we don't break making it either or. Our original position is that we are kings and queens anchored in an independent fashion who have always had a worship in terms of the God who created the sun, the stars, the moon, the frogs, the creeks, the deers, the buffaloes, lions, tigers, and bears, and all that. We know that there's a higher power.
All right, this is what I would say, all right? I get into religion. Person has a right to believe whatever he wants to believe, whether that is an indoctrination or not. I think ultimately all of us go to the truth when it revealed to us, and until that time we have to grow together. I wouldn't take a either-or stance, but it's an AAEA conference education. What if we can education and inspire and empower our people, no matter what they believe, the basic principles are that we don't kill each other, right? It's human, right? So that's religion. That is what we should be doing. I'm going to hold my point right there, and I'm going to 0946. We're coming to you live, Empowerment Network, Marvin Rone and Stan Macklin. What you got for us? Wake up, everybody.
wake up. I think it's very complex because of all the programming and indoctrination. So I think in keeping with what we're about, it's about learning to respect one another, learning to love one another regardless, because whatever you believe in
That's
this
right.
country, if you're black, they don't ask, they shoot first. We are discriminated against first. They don't ask. They take you to court first. They don't care. So
right
the dilemma is that we have to look beyond all of that and love one another and I would say not even let's leave love out of it. Just respect one another. If we could just start respecting one another, I think we could make some changes. And that means that when people have different views and whatever, I don't have to beat them up, or I don't have to make it condescending, or I don't have to make what they're saying wrong. I mean, we have millions and millions and millions and millions of us in the United States that have been exposed to a lot. The bottom line is, can we just get along? That's all I'm wanting is just, can we get along, and what are things that we can put in place to do that? So that's my comment.
Amen. Amen on that, sister. Can we all just get along, as Rodney King said? But I want to be able to stick with this wake up thing. This song says, no more backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. He challenged the teachers and the preachers, the drug users, everybody. So yes. I want to talk today about how and why we need to wake up and what we need to do as individuals and then as a collective. And again, the NAAEA concept is politics, economics, athletics, wellness, mm-hmm. health, nutrition,
absolutely.
Culture, and education. And if we educate our people and love on each other, I think we can wake up and change. What you think, Carla?
Mm-hmm. While we're waiting on the callers, I mean, we're a deep sleep has engulfed society today. And the people that think they're awake are trying to get people awakened to their perspectives. And we don't need to get caught up in isms and schisms. And I like what the sister said, that, you know, we don't need – these are times, especially for us as black folks, not to be fighting against each other. We need to have a sense of collaboration and solidarity to make a difference. And so there's a lot of perspectives today that are trying to get us to wake up to their way of reality, ranging from Klansmen to politicians to preachers and teachers and everything. You know, we need to know what we believe in, and the reality of what we believe in. We need to have institutions that define that, so that we can incorporate a society that is empowering people, and that's what I like about NAAEA.
So how do we build those bridges, right? Because to look at thinking about those that divide us, right? And how
yes.
easily are we divided? At every turn,
easily.
It's always something to separate us. When will we just decide
yes.
that we can coexist and get along to do what we need to do to build our communities? The man said, build a new land, right? We built this country. And now what do we need to do to get back to building a community, a society, a culture that helps to cultivate us and make us the best that we can be today? I'm going back to 9282, and then I'm going to slide on over to you, Brother George. 9282, what you got?
I'm listening to, you know, all the comments and so forth that's going on, and I didn't put that out there to be
that's
divisive.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
It was like conversation. And to
yes.
me, I asked the question, how can we wake up if we can't agree on what's right and what's wrong? It's a simple
mm-hmm.
question. At some point, I don't care how much we come together as a people, which God knows that's what I want us to do, is to come together as a people. I don't care how much we do that. At some point, we're still going to have to address the question, what's right and what's wrong? You know, as life goes forward, is a Jesus story that was real, or it was not, and we don't know. These are things we've been taught. All the words we've used today on this show, we've been taught. We've been taught what God is. When God was first presented to us in the English language as G-O-D, what do those three words mean when you put together? It means God. Okay, we had to then follow up and say, what is that? And it was explained to us in the English language coming from our slave master what God is. God is this, and whatever they said it was, a supreme being, the infinite wisdom, the whatever, the spiritual, whatever it was defined to us by our master. Okay? That's
well,
why we have to look at. We have to look
well,
at what.
When a young man looked up in that sky and saw that sun up there, I don't think he needed a master to tell him about that was something that was larger than him.
So a slave would. A slave child that's on a plantation, not even knowing what his surroundings are all about, not even knowing what a tree is. He wouldn't know what a sun is. He'll see that bright light up in the sky, but he doesn't know it's the sun. It's called the sun until his master tell him that's the sun, S-U-N. He's defining it for him. And when the slave accepts that, how do we know that's true? You know, how do we know that what this is?
That was my
right.
point. The AIC church, which is the original indigenous church in Africa, they knew that the God that created the creation and the sun and the stars and the moon was the higher power. They knew that. They knew that. And that's why they remain as it is right today, AIC. They have not allowed themselves to be diverted by other religious perspectives. They are the original church. And any African or anybody that's in East, West, North, or South Africa, they all have AIC churches because that is the original indigenous church. And it goes back thousands of years.
And as I would say, you were taught that.
Well, no, Master,
you were taught that. You were taught that,
was,
and they were taught that after they had been.
That.
Right. Now, hold on for a second. Right. I think we could get caught up on this. Right, and that would be another way for us to continue on the dialogue about one particular thing. I don't think it's black. I don't think it's white. I think it's somewhere in the middle, somewhere gray. And we can agree to disagree on that. But I think we have to understand where we are right now. And I don't think that, and a brother said it the other day, we could go on for 6 months talking about what white people did. I'm talking about how we can build now. How we can resurrect the minds of our people right now on the ground. We're in a crisis, right? I can't tell you what happened 500 years ago, but I can tell you what's happening today and what we're going to do about that. And so
that's
if we can, for this discussion, and I understand your point, brother, and I want to stay with it, but how can we continue to build our people? How can we wake up? We're in pain. We're in trauma. We're in our communities.
Yeah.
We have been high murder rates in almost every city where we are around the country. And we talk about religion. How we can change our communities? How are we going to wake up from the trauma? How are we going to wake up and say what we need to do to educate our children again? Best practices on how to love each other. Right?
We can't run from the truth.
Well, I mean, it is, again, I'm not doubting that that's the truth one way or the other. What I am saying is how do we employ ideas and concepts that enhance us, right? Because I think ultimately if we go down that road, brother, it's too much attention, right, that's taken away from all the other things that we can grow from besides continuing to dwell on the place that we've been.
My only point is, if we're not ultimately based on righteousness, whatever we do, eventually we'll fail, and we can take that with a grain of salt. If our foundation is not built on righteousness, and we're comfortable in knowing that what we're doing are right, and we're wanting that righteousness, then trying to solve problems, not knowing what the true cause of those problems are, that's what we've been doing for the last 400 years. We've been dealing with solutions, trying to come up with solutions. How can we solve our predicament that we're in when we don't understand the true cause of what put us in this predicament? You've got to understand the cause of your situation.
One way is, I know I've been fighting this freedom fighter fight for 40-something years, and I've made my mind up. I'm tired of trying to get in to fit in. And I'm about the business of having institutions that define our own reality. We don't need to be fighting and fussing against each other. We need to be builders and build nation builders. And the old Negro slogan was, a mine is a terrible thing to waste. And so we wasted our time being manipulated and instead of realizing that the alienation is a tool of the devil, and we need to cooperate and consolidate to have the necessary institutions that make a difference for our people. And that's what I think that we need to do. No more for me trying to get in to fit in. That's over with. I need institutions that help us define our own reality. And this particular institution National African American Empowerment Association is what I need in my time and in my life and other people's life, my family members' life, so that we can stand and withstand in these last and evil days.
Let's slide over to Brother George. Brother George, and we'll get back to you in a minute, brother. What's your thoughts on where we are in terms of wake up everybody and what we need to do to build in our country, to build our communities and our families?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We hear you, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, it goes back to, you know, the concept that I spoke about a collective consciousness that we don't have a shared vision, you know. And what I mean by that is it's a great deal of opportunity that's happening amongst our people. There are financial opportunities. There are educational opportunities. The NAAEA is a great opportunity, and it has a great structure to it that can fall in line as an institution amongst all that building. And we don't have a collective consciousness to begin to have trust in systems working for us that we come up with. You know, we still have a lot of distrust, you know, which is something that was crucial, you know, with Willie Lynch, is to keep us distrusting each other. And it's a lot that's available. I mean, like, with me right now, like, I spend some of my time on some of the mayor's task force. And one of them is the policing task force, right? And basically, in my mind, the approach that they're taking is very similar to the one that's been taken in the past, and it's going to fail because they're not dealing with the true reason why policing is the way that it is, in my mind. And so the way that I look at that is that I stay there because sometimes you have to have some of us in there that the people trust will give their true opinion, and I give my true opinion. Now, whether they like it or not, that's up to them to deal with, you know. But I don't think that I'm going to be the end-all, cure-all and make all this stuff happening. But my thought is that when we get rolling in the right direction, that one thing can lead to another, because I believe that as our economics change and as our teachings to our children change, then their self-evaluation and self-confidence will change, and their thoughts will begin to think more positive and ways to solve the problems of our people, because our children grow up to be the answers to our prayers. And so the way that you raise them is what you see is going to be what you get. And I think that at this time that we're in a very, you know, a very vulnerable spot in the universe where we can really make a shift. You know, we can really make a shift if we will focus on what we can do right. Like with, you know, with the brothers and sisters that's on the line, you know, I know some of y'all, and y'all have great contributions in the things that y'all do well, like Booker's financial plan, you know, and like, you know, Marvin, you know, with the NAAEA, you know, and it's like all of us have certain skill sets that we do well with. And I just feel like if we put those things to work with the NAAEA, it's like we'll see a lot of success before we pass on. You know, and I mean, that's what my thoughts are with that.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother George. I think as we continue to look at where we are, we're going to have to decide some things, right? as a community. Again, I don't think we're monolithic. We're not going to see everything all the same, and that's okay. But how do we find ways to bridge gaps in our communities? We're not going to all have the same belief system, but how can we use tools, the effective tools? Because whether you're a Christian or a Muslim, you still have a political system here. Whether you are atheist or whether you are Jew, we still have a white supremacist system here that we have to face. Mm-hmm. Poorly funded schools, criminal, we're being criminalized. Those things that we have to face, regardless, irregardless of our religious perspective, we still have to decide whether we're going to be Democrats or Republicans or independents or whatever that is. But we're going to have to understand this system and navigate it. What are your thoughts, Stan?
Well, you know, I look at the Jewish community. That's what they're about. They're about their community. From Hebrew school to, starting out with the bar mitzvah.
That's true.
And they turn
that's
their
true.
Resources. They turn their resources over 9 times before it goes out of the community. We have allowed the contamination of world's perspective to get us to digress from who we originally are. We are kings and queens. I mean, we have solid examples of that. Solid examples. And I just know that. That, like I said, I fought that freedom fighting perspective for so long that I just made my mind up that enough is enough. I've made a declaration that enough is enough, and I'm totally positive.
All right, well, let's go back to 0946. 0946, are you there?
Institution.
I'm here. I think one of the things that when we say wake up. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that one of the things, like you say, is that, you know, we have to have something that we agree on, right?
Say
so,
it
like,
either.
That yellow line.
We lost
everybody
you.
Agree.
Go ahead.
Are you, can you hear me?
Now
yes.
We do.
Yes.
Hear you now.
Okay. Like, that yellow line in the road that we agree that I'll stay on my side and you stay on your side.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we do that is for self-preservation. I don't care how much of a law it is. We do that for self-preservation. I stay on that line because I don't want to collide with you on the other side. Part of the things that we can agree on is self-preservation. And part of that self-preservation, can we agree not to kill one another? Can we agree to respect one another? And I don't care what you believe. If it's SpongeBob that causes you not to shoot me, then praise be to SpongeBob. But can we just make the agreement that you that we will just stop killing one another? Can we just make an agreement that we will just fight for one another and for justice for the black people in this country, in America? Can we just agree on that? And then by whatever means gets you to the table to say that I want to be in solidarity with my brother and sister, I'm not concerned with that anymore. I'm concerned with that you are just as concerned for the preservation of black people in this country as I am, and work together on that. So I think if we say, can we agree on this, and then talk about maybe why we're not able to make that happen. Like, that's real simple to say. If we'll just stop killing one another, right? That's real simple. But can we agree on that? Can we agree on that we need to stop killing one another, and then look at what's in the way? What philosophies are we believing, or what structures in this country are causing us to do that, and then come together and work to dismantle that? But I think I think we can agree that we want the best for our children. We want our children to have good schools to go to. We want our children to have good families. We want our children to have – but – when we agree on that, we get the agreement, then we can talk about what's standing in the way of doing that. So I think that part of the peace concept that you offer. I call her NAA, the National African American Empowerment Association, are pillars that we can agree on. We can agree on that there's a political system that we need to dismantle that does not have us in mind. So no matter what you believe, if you can believe that, we can come together and do something. We have an economic system that does not have us in mind. You know, if we can come together and agree on that, then we can decide what's the best way to do it. But I think it's getting those agreements on the table and really understanding that we agree on something, because I believe we do agree on some things. And, mm-hmm. and the major things that are most important, and that's to keep our communities from being destroyed even more than what they're being. So I think that if we can just start finding what we do agree on, like, you know, if you get in, you know, but let's find something that we do agree on and then build around that. So that's my contribution.
All right. Let's work to develop ourselves and agree on points that we can by any means necessary. How about that? Mm-hmm. That's one of my brothers mm-hmm. that said that a long time ago, but I think it's worth saying that we have to find every means to come together. Every means to get along, anything that we could do to stop the killing and to empower and build community is what we need to do. What you got, Stan?
Well, man, I'm all for collaboration. If need be, I'm all for the reality of sometimes you have to roll up your sleeves and you have to fight the good fight of faith. But I look at the casualties that is happening, and my major concern is the next generation. They're the ones that has to carry on the torch, and that's what I'm interested in, is raising up that next tier that can carry on the perspectives to be about the reality of waking up and building and sustaining. It's just too late in the game to sabotage our reality. And so that's the perspective that I have. I think the sister really said a good thing. I think what the brother said was it's nothing wrong with being challenged and to do creative thinking. But anything that can be not constructive, or if it's constructive and it becomes critical, where it causes us to think about what we're anchored in, there's nothing wrong with that. We just have to know as the sister said, have the perimeters established. And when you cross that yellow line, you're getting into some dangerous territory that does lead to killing. And that has happened amongst us as a people.
Well, the brother said in the song, it's time to teach a new way. Right? And again, I think we have to educate ourselves. And that's one of the pillars of the NAAEA is education. We have to educate our people. We have to do the reconstruction project of reconstructing the mind. There's nobody else's responsibility but ours. And whatever methods that we decide or determine to utilize, that's on us. But let's begin today to bridge that gap mentally, physically, and emotionally, and spiritually, and culturally to work together. That's the only way we're going to make it. I'm going back to 9282. 9282. How are we going to build this thing? How are we going to build a new land and a new mindset for our people?
Well, you got to focus like this. This is my position now. I've had many opportunities over the past 55 years of my life to sell out. You know, I was in great opportunities, being the first black to do this, first black to do that, first black. I mean, it was coming at me from all directions. All I had to do was agree and sign on the dotted line. And I could have been mayor of Richmond years ago. who knows, probably even governor of the state of Virginia. I had it going like that the way I could have done. But when you talk like I talk and committed to what I'm committed to, that was not an option for me. I'd rather die without owning nothing on this planet, including my house, my cars, nothing, than to sell my people out. And for me,
amen to that.
My focus is I've got to be going, you know, I've got to continue to do what I think is right and point out the things that I feel and know that there's no evidence up to prove that's true. Because in my opinion, we can't go forward like that. We cannot work together on anything, and when we complete whatever it is we're working on, then I still got to deal with your mindset of being corrupt or where it was in this system that we're still in, because that system is in us. That system has been ingrained in us. That's what slavery was all about. We can't say we're going to change the system from within and move certain people out the way, and then we get in positions to run this system, because we're just going to run this system like this system is designed to be run. Still casting our people aside. I mean, all that stuff sounds good. I agree with the sister. We definitely need to stop killing ourselves. We definitely need to stop hating ourselves, disrespecting our women, and do all those things. But if we're not committed to the righteousness of it, to where we're going to stand up and die for it, even if we become economically sound and we function and we strong and we make some connections on the world and as a people, we got a financial base, if our minds are still messed up, we're going to continue to function like this system. We've got to be willing to say, we're going to leave here with nothing anyway, regardless of how much materialistic wealth you obtain. When they put you in the hole, nothing goes with you. You know, so we've got to be willing to look at, it ain't about me achieving materialistic success. It's me making the world a better place for all of us. And I do believe we're monolithic. I do believe we're one. We're one with God. And that oneness ain't a bad thing. That oneness is honesty, love, caring, sharing, one with the Father, about righteousness. I ain't got to run around and try to make I'm different from you. No, I'm not. We should be of one mind. We all about the same thing. If you different from me, I can't be doing business with you, because you're going to have different, you know, you're going to get to that point where we're not trusting each other. If I know you like I know myself, we one in this thing. I know how you're going to function in any situation. It's like a movie. If I put a character in a situation, if I know that character, I put him in any situation, I know how he's going to react because I know the character. It's called character
development. Well, how do we build trust? How do we build trust? We are way down the road now, right? It's 2020, pandemic and all. We are 8 months into 2020. Mm-hmm. How do we build trust now in the community, in the family, in the home, educating our kids?
By your actions. Because we
right,
have
exactly.
It doesn't excuse the fact that we've had over 400 years to get ourselves together. Now, all of a sudden, because the reality of us not doing what we should have done hundreds of years ago is smacking us in our faces, and it becoming obvious to us that we done messed up, that this thing might be really ending for us because we ain't prepared for it. What you need to do doesn't shorten. It takes time. Trust, honesty is built over time because we judge your actions. Now I got to trust you simply because you're the same skin color as me. And I got to have faith in you that you're going to do the right thing.
Well, I go by what people do. I don't go by what they say. I go by what you do.
By what they do. By what you
exactly.
do. And that takes time. It takes time. It takes experience to judge you and see those things. Now, I would like to believe, because all of you are the same skin color as me, that I know how you're going to act when stuff hits the fan. But because we amongst, as we say, here comes my word, niggas, we don't know what a nigga might do. Okay?
Uh-oh.
We don't know how a nigga might act.
Uh-oh.
But I would like to think I know how a black man or a black woman would act.
Brother Wrong,
you know, that's what we need.
Brother Wrong, pyramids was built over time, and they still stand solid. Okay?
Right.
And there's an African proverb that says, Ephraim is joined to his idol, let him alone. Okay? There comes that time in life where you have to realize there's certain perspectives that Ephraim has joined his island. You got to let him alone to protect the integrity of the movement. Okay? And so I just want to give a shout out to you as a young man. You're a young man. You're not an old man. I'm an old man. You're a young man. And to have the vision and the institution, I like it. And I pledge and commit my support to an institution like this, because that's what we need. That's what we need to make a difference in our times like these. And I want to do that. I want to say that, because I don't want any discouragement or frustration to hinder the empowerment of what is emanating from this here institution in its formation.
Well, this is a great source for conversation and information and education. And so, again, to the brother's point, it is our job to educate our people in the state of mind wherever they are. And so if we give them sound principles and we develop our children and go back into the community on the ground, mm-hmm. and begin to resurrect our people, the same as in which the nation did. I will say the Nation of Islam have sound principles on developing our people, and many of our churches do. We have to begin to understand the importance of collaboration and working together. All right, we got about 2 minutes. I want to go. I'm going back to 0946 real quick. 0946, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What do we have to do?
Platform. I think, you know, we keep saying educate. I think we need to de-educate. I think there's so much that we think that we know and so much that we've learned through indoctrination that has to be undone. You can't put new wine into old skins. You can't build a foundation and it's not clear. So we got to dig up, de-educate our people on these myths that they believe about who we are or that we've been taught. So I think that, you know, we can make up our own words. I don't know if de-educated is a word or not.
I think we need to
de-educate, because I think we're trying to put information on top of myths, and there's no way for them to reconcile or understand, because they've got one belief system. We're trying to introduce another belief system, and I think sometimes that just causes a lot of confusion. So
almost out of time. So we have to educate, and then re-educate our people. We can do it all. Yeah. All we have to do is simply try. Thank you. Stan, any parting words? Thank you, callers, for calling today.
Great show today, man. Great show, great perspectives, lots of food for thought, and let's build a reality that can make a difference for the next generation.
All right, it's the NAAEA Empowerment Show. Thank you all for listening. We have a new newsletter coming out in September. You want to get it and check it out. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next Saturday at 2 p.m. Peace.
In a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know.